Welcome to
In Villonair.
In Villonair.
In Villonair.
The academic radio space for English learners from the Instituto Virtual de Lenguas. News, suggestions, culture, language tips, literature, entertainment, opinion, learning, sharing, and more. Welcome back.
Share, enjoy, discover, practice, and learn.
In Villonair.
In Villonair.
In Villonair.
Hello, boys and girls. Bienvenidos a nuestro programa radial In Villonair, el programa del Instituto Virtual de Lenguas de la Universidad Nacional Abierta y a Distancia.
Con ustedes, Carlos Vázquez, Carolina Rojas y quien les habla, Leonardo Leguizamón Novoa, tutores del Instituto Virtual de Lenguas. Welcome everyone to our radio space.
¿Qué tal, muchachos? Un placer compartir este espacio nuevamente con todos ustedes.
Today we have some issues you need to listen to in order to improve your lifestyle and some others aim to help you with your English.
Claro, León, qué mejor manera de aprender inglés al tiempo que aprendamos sobre temas relacionados con nuestro estilo de vida.
All right then, Leo, what have you got for us?
Going straight to the great wine, Karen Charlie, do you know anything related to the way you sleep and dream?
Bueno, muchachos, pues sobre los sueños no sé mucho, pero sí me inquieta bastante el tema. Uno ve en internet varios diccionarios para su interpretación y los significados, pero creo que esto es un tema totalmente subjetivo.
Well, Leo, I do know a little bit about that topic. When I was learning my English, for example, I had to make a presentation concerning sleeping and the dream phases. There is one called REM and another called non-REM.
Did you know, for example, that a giraffe only needs 2 hours of sleep? Today, we have an interesting section which will unveil some events related to sleep that maybe you didn't know.
¿Una jirafa solo necesita 2 horas de sueño? Increíble. Yo a veces necesito más de 8. Pienso que dormir bien es necesario para nuestra salud, aunque a veces tengamos muchas ocupaciones, claro.
¿Really? Hey man, I need to be like a giraffe. I mean, I have a lot of things to do. By the way, Leo, do you snore?
What? Sorry?
Un momento, Carlos. ¿Le preguntas a Leo que si ronca? Bueno, es evidente, ¿no?
Sí, imagínate.
Well, sometimes I do it. When I'm not in my cozy bed, I snore. You know, I'm like a dolphin. I keep half of my brain awake when I need to study.
Really?
Yeah.
¿Te pareces un delfín? Wow.
Yeah.
Hey, but Leo, I'm having some problems at sleeping. Can you give me some advice?
Yeah, Carlos and Carito. It is a very interesting topic. So I invite you to listen to this topic in our section, Carpe Diem.
Carpe Diem. Learn how to take care about yourself.
Housekeeping, you want me for pillow?
Please go away. Let me sleep for the love of God.
Here are 10 fun facts about sleeping. Number 10. When you are snoring, you can't dream. Number 9. On average, a person spends nearly 6 years dreaming during sleep. Number 8. While sleeping, dolphins keep half of their brain awake. This sleep behavior helps them guard against predators. Number 7. A study done by Xu Yan University in Hong Kong shows that your sleep positions can affect the kinds of dreams you have. According to the study, people who slept on their stomach had more dreams related to sex than people who slept on their back or their side. Number 6. Different species of animals have varied sleep requirements. For instance, a giraffe only needs 2 hours of sleep. On the other end, bats sleep for nearly 80% of their lives. Number 5. Do you know that there is a sleep disorder called Sleeping Beauty Syndrome? Those suffering from this disorder sleep up to 20 hours a day. Unfortunately, its symptoms can last for days or even months. Number 4. According to historian Roger Ekrich, in the past it was normal to get 2 interval sleep cycles, one in the early evening, a break, and then a second later at night. Historical documents support this. There are references to neighbors visiting each other in the middle of 2 sleeps and doctors suggesting couples conceive a baby after the first sleep. Number 3. According to a 2011 research study, the average U.S. worker loses approximately 11.3 days each year in productivity due to insomnia, causing a collective loss of around $63.2 billion to U.S. employers. Number 2. Some researchers believe that those who stay awake late at night are more likely to have higher IQs than those who fall asleep early. And number one, elephants stand during non-REM sleep, but as they slip into REM sleep, they lie down.
From now on, I'll try to stay up all night doing different things. By the way, do any of you guys know what REM stands for? Some of our listeners and I don't know what that is.
Well, in red, it stands for rapid eye movement.
Okay.
Or what we call when you are in a deep sleep.
Okay, Carlos, tú hablas de la fase REM y no REM, ¿cierto? Es decir, son etapas desde que conciliamos el sueño hasta que llegamos al sueño profundo.
Así es, Carito.
Pero bueno, antes de escucharte, revisemos algunas palabras clave en inglés, ¿ok?
Perfecto.
Tenemos stage, etapa, phase, fase, reach or reaching, alcanzar, light sleep, sueño ligero.
Ese es el que yo tengo, todo el tiempo.
Deep sleep, sueño profundo.
That's my calling.
Heart rate, ritmo cardíaco. Rose, despertar. REM or REM, rapid eye movement, movimiento ocular rápido. Non-REM, movimiento no rápido del ojo. Entonces, te escuchamos, Carlos.
Okay, guys, what happens during non-REM sleep? There are three phases of non-REM sleep. Each stage can last from 5 to 15 minutes. You go through all three phases before reaching the REM sleep. In the first stage, your eyes are closed, but it's easy to wake you up. This phase may last for 5 to 15 minutes. In the number 2, you are in a light sleep. Your heart rate slows and your body temperature drops. Your body is getting ready for deep sleep. And finally, in the stage 3, this is the deep sleep stage. It's harder to rouse you during this stage. And if someone woke you up, you will feel disoriented for a few minutes. In the opposite, we can find the REM sleep. Usually, in this sleep, it happens 20 minutes after you fall asleep. The first period of REM typically lasts 10 minutes. Each of your later REM stages gets longer, and the final one may last up to an hour. Your heart rate and breathing quickens. You can have intense dreams during the REM sleep, since your brain is more active. Babies, for example, can spend up to 50% of their sleep in the REM stage, compared to the adults, which is a quantity of 20%. Imagine the difference.
Okay, Carlos, muchas gracias.
Thank you very much. Our audience, keep awake. We'll be right back.
Temas de actualidad, tecnología, bienestar, salud, economía y medio ambiente. Lo escuchas en nuestro programa institucional Administrando el Futuro. Todos los martes, 5 de la tarde, hora colombiana. Administrando el futuro con enfoque universitario.
Culture and Civilization, an open window to know more about the world.
We are here again, talking about dreaming. Time ago, I was in one of my university classes. It was a phonology class, and our teacher told us a little bit of the history and evolution of English. I got so interested about this topic, and when I went to the net, I found these that I want to share with you.
Sí, muchachos. En la lengua convergen elementos de diversas culturas y cuando nos remitimos a su origen nos encontramos con bonitas sorpresas. La historia y evolución del inglés, como de todas las lenguas, es muy importante no solo para enriquecer nuestra competencia comunicativa, sino para compenetrarnos con su esencia. Aunque les recuerdo que es importante considerar que esta esencia no se refiere a la pureza de una lengua, como lo veremos en la nota, sino a su riqueza.
Okay, then, let's listen to our section Culture and Civilization. And I invite you guys and our listeners to learn about the origin of English. If I could do it,
When we talk about English, we often think of it as a single language. But what do the dialects spoken in dozens of countries around the world have in common with each other, or with the writings of Chaucer? And how are any of them related to the strange words in Beowulf? The answer is that, like most languages, English has evolved through generations of speakers, undergoing major changes over time. By undoing these changes, we can trace the language from the present day back to its ancient roots. While modern English shares many similar words with Latin-derived Romance languages, like French and Spanish, most of those words were not originally part of it. Instead, they started coming into the language with the Norman invasion of England in 1066. When the French-speaking Normans conquered England and became its ruling class, they brought their speech with them, adding a massive amount of French and Latin vocabulary to the English language previously spoken there. Today, we call that language Old English. This is the language of Beowulf. It probably doesn't look very familiar, but it might be more recognizable if you know some German. That's because Old English belongs to the Germanic language family, first brought to the British Isles in the 5th and 6th centuries by the Angles, Saxons, and Jutes. The Germanic dialects they spoke would become known as Anglo-Saxon. Viking invaders in the 8th to 11th centuries added more borrowings from Old Norse into the mix. It may be hard to see the roots of modern English underneath all the words borrowed from French, Latin, Old Norse, and other languages. But comparative linguistics can help us by focusing on grammatical structure, patterns of sound changes, and certain core vocabulary. For example, after the 6th century, German words starting with P systematically shifted to a PF sound, while their Old English counterparts kept the P unchanged. In another split, words that have SK sounds in Swedish developed an SH sound in English. There are still some English words with SK, like skirt and skull, but they're direct borrowings from Old Norse that came after the SK to SH shift. These examples show us that just as the various Romance languages descended from Latin, English, Swedish, German, and many other languages descended from their own common ancestor, known as Proto-Germanic, spoken around 500 BCE. Because this historical language was never written down, we can only reconstruct it by comparing its descendants, which is possible thanks to the consistency of the changes. We can even use the same process to go back one step further and trace the origins of Proto-Germanic to a language called Proto-Indo-European, spoken about 6,000 years ago on the Pontic Steppe in modern-day Ukraine and Russia. This is the reconstructed ancestor of the Indo-European family that includes nearly all languages historically spoken in Europe, as well as large parts of southern and western Asia. And though it requires a bit more work, we can find the same systematic similarities or correspondences between related words in different Indo-European branches. Comparing English with Latin, we see that English has T where Latin has D, and F where Latin has P at the start of words. Some of English's more distant relatives include Hindi, Persian, and the Celtic languages it displaced in what is now Britain. Proto-Indo-European itself descended from an even more ancient language, but unfortunately, this is as far back as historical and archaeological evidence will allow us to go. Many mysteries remain just out of reach, such as whether there might be a link between Indo-European and other major language families, and the nature of the languages spoken in Europe prior to its arrival. But the amazing fact remains that nearly 3 billion people around the world, many of whom cannot understand each other, are nevertheless speaking the same words shaped by 6,000 years of history.
That was what I call a lesson.
It is very important to take into account the origin of a language due to the fact that this will tell us about many things related to it.
Sí, así es. Podemos entender que así como el español viene del latín y que es una lengua romance, el inglés viene del proto-germánico, que es el origen de todas las lenguas germánicas.
Wow, carito, no sabía que tenías todos esos conocimientos. Definitely, Leo. It is so important to know where our language came from, so we can figure out a lot of meanings and also use them in the right context. Besides, this TED presentation, we can also get lots of information on the World Wide Web.
Tips and tricks to help you improve your English. Because your English can always be better. Only here at Inville on Air.
Oh, wow!
Ok, muchachos, como tutor en diferentes cursos, a veces me he encontrado con varias inquietudes de los estudiantes con relación a temas tan sencillos como son deletreo de palabras.
Sí, así es. Sí, yeah. Eso sucede cuando estamos en el ejercicio de speaking, en la entrevista.
Pero es muy raro porque en algunas ocasiones podemos decir que es algo muy sencillo, pero que en muchas ocasiona una gran dificultad a nuestros estudiantes.
Yeah, it's necessary a lot of practice when you're learning how to spell the alphabet in English.
Sí, mira, aquí hay algo importante que resaltar y es que nosotros todos los días estamos deletreando para dar una dirección o para dar un correo electrónico. Es algo importante que tenemos que fortalecer.
Incluso en documentos legales, donde necesitas escribir muy claramente todas las palabras que te están mencionando, y más en un idioma como el inglés, en el cual muchas veces, como suena algo, se escribe totalmente diferente.
That's claro right. Que sí.
Every time, everywhere. Given the fact that we have some students from basic levels, I consider it would be great if we give them session after session kind of mini lessons for them to learn and practice every day.
Sí, de hecho, Carlos y Leonardo, a veces pasamos por alto algunos aspectos básicos, pero que podemos fortalecer, así nuestro nivel sea un poco más alto. Me parece una gran idea ir a lo fundamental y recordar algunos tips.
In one of the previous programs, we taught them some greetings that helped them a lot, they say.
Yeah.
So, in this opportunity, we're going to present you something different.
Today, we are going to practice a little bit with the alphabet. Remember that spelling is very important when speaking.
Sí, de acuerdo. Deletrear palabras es una de las primeras cosas que aprendemos. Y como hablábamos anteriormente, porque a diario utilizamos varios acrónimos y puede suceder que algunas veces cometamos errores. Entonces, como les decía, dar direcciones, nuestro correo electrónico, aclarar la escritura de una palabra, son actividades que hacemos a diario y que debemos hacer muy bien.
You are so right, Caro. This is so useful.
Not everyone will need to do this lesson, of course. But if the English alphabet is completely new to you, you might need to practice. In fact, remember, writing letters. Did you know that there are 26 letters in the English alphabet? They can be written large in capital, remember, or small in small letters.
Sí, por ejemplo, en el español nosotros tenemos 5 vocales, pero en inglés tenemos esas 5 vocales, pero 18 sonidos.
Wow.
That is so right.
Y es algo que a primera vista presenta las mayores dificultades precisamente para el aprendizaje de algo tan básico que uno llamaría vocales.
Así es.
21 consonants. That is so similar to Spanish. Except from ñ.
Yeah.
That they don't have it. Yeah. So let's see the next, I don't know. Who can, Carito, can you enlighten us a little bit about the pronunciation of most of the English alphabet?
Bueno, nosotros cuando aprendemos inglés hemos utilizado diferentes técnicas. Y por ejemplo, para el alfabeto nos han enseñado aprendérnoslo en el orden, como lo conocemos, así mismo con una canción, muy memorística la cuestión.
Pero claro, cuando tú mencionas en el orden, es decir, el que normalmente conocemos, A, B, C,
en fin. Sí, entonces hay diferentes formas. Yo creo que cada uno lo va descubriendo, pero pues vamos a dar una aquí, a compartirles una que puede ser muy útil para aprendernos el alfabeto en inglés. Vamos a hacerlo por agrupación de sonidos en común. Entonces, Vamos a leer entonces entre todos y compartir las letras de acuerdo con un sonido que tienen en común. Entonces, iniciemos.
I like it.
Bueno, tenemos entonces el A sound.
For
el sonido A. Yeah. ¿Listo? Tenemos las letras A, H, J, K.
Perfect.
Claro, te das enseguida cuenta que todas tienen ese sonido y es mucho más fácil incluso repetir la pronunciación. Bueno, y siguiendo con el tema, también tenemos el sonido I o E sound. Y lo encontramos en las letras que tienen este incluido, como son B, C, D, E, G, P, T, and V.
Ok, Leito, ¿por qué tú no nos compartes entonces el E sound?
Ok, in this group we have some and or most of my favorite consonants. We have F, we have L, we have M, N, S, and X.
But tell us, Leo, why are they your favorite consonants?
I don't know, familiar names and things that I love so much, people.
Okay, okay, nice.
Excellent.
Bueno, tenemos también el I sound. Tenemos I, Y.
Perfecto, Catito. Y tenemos también un sonido que es muy común y es el que todos conocen. Es el sonido U. U sound. Y está para las siguientes letras, que son la Q, la letra U, que obviamente es U, y finalmente la W.
Muy bien. Hay algunas letras que no entraron en este grupo. ¿Cuáles son, Leito?
So here we have three of the odd ones that are the O, R, and Z.
Muy bien. Entonces, para que quienes nos están escuchando en este momento, pues puedan encontrar una manera diferente y más significativa de aprenderse estos sonidos del inglés.
Claro, y pero unas veces a mí me ha sucedido, Leo o Caro, yo estoy en el teléfono y las personas, incluso en mi mismo idioma, yo no les entiendo lo que me están diciendo o cómo me están deletreando lo que intentan decirme. Me imagino que en inglés debe ser aún más difícil todavía ese proceso.
Sí, es difícil, pero no imposible. Vamos a ver, por ejemplo, otra técnica pues, para aprendernos el abecedario ya con una palabra significativa de que contenga ese sonido. Bueno.
So here we have the I'll say the letter, you'll say the word.
Bien.
A.
Alpha.
For example, B.
Bravo.
We have C.
Charlie.
Yeah, that's my name.
Or for example, D.
Delta.
The next one will be E.
Echo.
In the next, we have F.
Foxtrot.
Excellent. The next one, it is G.
Golf.
Or H.
Hotel.
The next place, I.
India.
J.
Juliet.
K.
Kilo.
L.
Lima.
M.
Mike.
N.
November.
O.
Oscar.
P.
Papa.
Q.
Quebec.
R.
Romeo.
S.
Sierra.
T.
Tango.
U.
Uniform.
V.
Victor.
W.
Whiskey.
X.
X-ray.
Y.
Yankee.
And Z.
Zulu.
Remember, don't confuse some of these consonants. For example, V and B from victory or ball.
Perfect.
Okay. Yeah.
We are going to have it to a comment.
Yeah, perfect.
The world we share because we care.
Is it a sin that I want it bad? Halfway to hell, I've made my bed. Baby, give in and we'll be gone.
Bueno, es hora de observar nuestras redes sociales y todo lo que han compartido los tutores, estudiantes y demás contactos a través de Facebook y Twitter. En esta ocasión vamos a compartir un post que realizó Norma Constanza Triana, quien menciona que como consumidores es importante que nos enteremos de los procesos detrás de los productos. Nuestro comportamiento consumista también puede afectar negativamente. Y tiene mucha razón, ya que muchas veces nosotros solamente tenemos enfrente en las estanterías ya los resultados finales, pero muchas veces los procesos que se realizan dañan el ambiente, incluso pueden ser considerados muy algo así como chocantes a la vista y conocerlos.
Ah, qué buena reflexión la que nos deja Norma. También tenemos a Pérez García, que nos compartió un video de la cultura tzuana. Es un video pues, que nos deja también algo en qué pensar sobre el tema de la música como el idioma universal.
Perfecto.
Muy chévere.
Also, we have the time to congratulate Sandra Spina for the success of her daughter in her first school day. Congratulations, my dear.
Excelente. Y por último, realizamos unos saludos a Harold Parra,
a Alejandra Pájaro,
Yubeli Machado,
Angélica Cuero,
Yesid Gallego,
Pedro Cárdenas,
Liliana Álvarez,
Rosa María Novoa,
Luisa Fernanda Martínez
y Diana Garro. Y todas las personas que nos han escrito, cordiales saludos.
Thank you to all of our followers in Facebook. Continue writing. We invite you to write things, to post videos in English in order to learn more about our language and this excellent and interesting culture.
Sí, invitamos a toda nuestra audiencia que nos sigan en redes sociales, nos escriban sus comentarios, nos sigan compartiendo sus contenidos. Y si tienen algunos comentarios, pues nos escriban a nuestro correo de invilonair@gmail.com.
Okay, guys, this was a wonderful and lovely program. I think I learned a lot from you. I hope the audience has enjoyed it. Bye bye, guys.
Síganos por Facebook, @InVilOnAirIsBack, Twitter, @InVilOnAir, Instagram, @InVilOA.
Ok, muchas gracias Leo, Charlie y a nuestra audiencia. Have a nice week.
You too. Thank you very much. InVilOnAir.